Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the preacher at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a TV program that airs right after this program from 8 to 8:30 on public access channel number 6 on your television entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a look. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchristatharrisburg.com. You'll find all these radio broadcasts and MP3 files that you can download. We also have all our TV programs out there, and there's a host of other Bible-related material that will help you in your study of God's Word. Please give it a look. Let us know what you think. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be giving our regular meeting times for our services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You'll always be warmly received. We have been looking at, for the last few weeks, the subject of why I'm a member of the Church of Christ. Maybe you're wondering why we do such a lesson. We're doing these lessons in order to tell you a little bit about us. It's amazing how many people think they know about us who's never talked to us. So we're trying to give you a better understanding of who we are and what we practice and what we teach. Today we're going to begin a lesson that's going to last for a couple of weeks. And another reason I'm a member of the Church of Christ is because we believe and we teach that the Bible is all inspired, every teaching in it. Many people do not believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. Yet, that's what the Bible claims for itself in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped to every good work. That's in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 15. Notice, it is given by inspiration of God. That means it's God-breathed. And it equips man for every good work. Do you believe that all religious people who claim to believe in God actually also believe in the inspiration of the Scriptures? In the following article, written in a periodical called Preaching Today, a survey was taken among 700 different ministers of different varying denominations. Here are the results that they printed. 48% reject the Bible account of creation. 43% believe that there is no longer one called the devil. 38% do not believe in a revelation from God. 43% reject plenary inspiration of the Bible. 38% Old Testament prophets could not predict the future. 55% not totally free of myths and legends. 19% reject the account of Jesus' incarnation. 19% that Jesus is equal to God. They deny that. 24% reject the atonement of Christ. 12% reject the resurrection account of Christ. 34% no future punishment of the wicked. 33% no resurrection from the dead. 27% Jesus will not come again to judge the earth. And 33% do not believe the account of man's fall in Eden. 51% reject that baptism and the Lord's Supper are essential to follow today. And 39% feel a man's good standing in the community is enough for the church to have fellowship with them. You know what? An atheist is more consistent than the modernist. The atheist believes none of the Bible. The modernist thinker, he believes what he or she wants to believe. It's amazing to me how people claim to be people of God, people claim to be members of His church, and people who claim to follow Him cannot understand that the Bible is completely inspired by God. These statements are unbelievable for any of us who understand that the Bible is indeed the only revelation from God to man, and it is truly inspired. Now, why should we believe the Bible is inspired? Why should you and I believe that the Bible is indeed inspired by God? If the Bible is not true, then no acceptable and trustworthy history for man to draw upon. If the Bible is false, then we really don't have any accurate source of past history to draw upon. In John chapter 1, in the Gospel of John, in the very first verse, in the first three verses, really, of 1 John chapter 1, I want to read those to you. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. You see, in that passage, it says that in the beginning was the Word. God and the Father and the Holy Spirit were together in the beginning. Men have heard him, they have seen him, and have touched Christ, according to 1 John 1 and verse 1. It makes the evidence not hearsay. They're eyewitnesses. Honesty and veracity of the testimony. Where did it bring them? Persecution, ridicule, death. Even when they promoted Christ and promoted his teaching, that's what they got in result. No physical or temporal gain was result by the prophets and the apostles or the inspired writers. What did they get in exchange for their testimony? They got grief. Why would men die for a lie? Would you die for a lie? Yet some, as we already just gave you in the beginning of our study, some don't believe all that the Bible says. And so all these people just died for a lie? I think there must be more to it than that. The Bible is a book of books, really. It's one book, but it's a book of 66 books in total. There are 39 in the Old Testament. There are 27 in the New. They were written by 40 different writers from different backgrounds, different cultures, different educations, and different occupations. And it was written over a period of about 1,600 years. Yet, these men never conferred with one another. They didn't compare notes. They didn't have a conference. They didn't get together once a year. That didn't happen. They lived in different times, in different cultures, in different places. They abided under different governments. They wrote independently of one another. But still, they are in complete harmony. No contradiction. Moses agrees with Paul. Daniel agrees with Peter. There are no contradictions. Could that just be purely by accident? Could that just be a coincidence? No, don't think so. That would never happen. Complete continuity from beginning to end. From Genesis 1:1 to Revelation chapter 22, there is complete continuity. How do you explain that? There's only one way to explain it. Because God's hand's in it. Without God's hand being in it, there would not be that continuity. There would not be that harmony. There would be contradictions in the Bible. There would be flaws. But there are none because God's hand's in it. You know, a cross-section of occupations and accomplishments and abilities, but still they are in agreement with each other. Just let me give you a sample of the men who helped write the Bible. Moses was an Egyptian educated, and he was a shepherd. Joshua was a soldier and a spy. Ezra was a scribe and a priest. Nehemiah was a king's cupbearer. And David was a shepherd, a musician, a war hero, and a king. Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived, and he was a king. Isaiah was just a prophet. Ezekiel was a Jewish exile. Daniel was a statesman that was in Babylonian captivity. Amos was a shepherd and a peasant. Matthew was a tax collector. Peter and John were nothing more than fishermen. And Luke was a physician. And Paul, by trade, was a tent maker, but he also was a scholar. Now, how could they write such a volume with such different backgrounds, education, and coming from different cultures? How could they write such a volume? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21 help us understand, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21. It's not a work of chance. It's not a coincidence. It didn't just happen, but it is a work of God. Error is worth more than truth. This book has done more for mankind than any other book which has ever been written or will ever be written from the beginning of time. No book has done more to change their lives and the conduct and making men acceptable to society and making them profitable, living profitable lives and making them profitable to other people. No book has given men that kind of guidance except the Bible. It has a purifying effect upon the human nature and the human race. It brings men closer to God than any other means. Tells men the story of redemption. Tells them how they got here. Tells them why they're here. Tells them where they're going. No other book does that with accuracy. The only book that does that with accuracy is the Bible. All of nature's works are in vain if the Bible's not true. If the Bible's not true and if it's not inspired, what is man's purpose here? Where is he headed? How did he get here? Where are we going to get those questions answered? Man can't answer them. He can't answer where he came from. He can't answer really why he's going, why he's here, and where he's going. Everybody has an opinion. Everybody has a thought. But the Bible gives us the exact information so we can answer the questions of life. How do we explain the existence of this planet without the Bible account? How do we know how we got here? How do we know how it all came together? Without the Bible account, we would not know. The Bible is authoritative in its expression, if one would just open it and read it. Thus saith the Lord. That statement is found over 2,000 times in the scripture. Notice, 2,000 times the Bible says, thus saith the Lord. That means that that was a statement made by God himself. Never uses other means to prove his statements. It's based on complete authority from its author, God itself. It doesn't give other people to give evidence. He gives the evidence himself. The Bible is not written in an uncertain and doubtful manner. It's not written that, well, it might be right. Well, it could be right. You know, it has some good points in it. No, the Bible is very firm and direct and authoritative. The future is written as if it were past. In Joshua chapter 6, verse 2, Joshua was told by God that God had given him the city of Jericho. He hadn't gotten it yet, but God said it was already done. Even though they had not yet won the battle by following his divine instructions, God can speak as if something's already done, even before it's accomplished, because he has the power and the knowledge to know what he will do. The Bible is not based, is not biased, it's not a respecter of person. Man is described on the highest plane and also described as the doer of the blackest of sins. It tells the good and it tells the bad. David was a man after God's own heart, but he was still a murderer when he murdered Uriah the Hittite in order to cover up his relationship with Bathsheba, 2 Samuel 11 and 12. Peter was an apostle, but yet he still denied the Lord three times, and we have that in Matthew 26, 69 through 75. Paul wrote many books of the Bible, 13, maybe 14, but still the details of his life prior to Christ are contained in the book of Acts when he tried to persecute and destroy the church. Moses was a great leader of God's people. He did many good things, led them out of the land of Egypt, led him through the wilderness for 40 years, yet he sinned when he failed to keep the commandment that God told him in giving water to the nation of Israel, and he was not allowed to live to go into the promised land, but he died before they got there, and that's recorded in Numbers 20, verse 1 through 12. You see, the Bible's not biased. Some of its greatest men that are mentioned in the Bible, even their flaws and their imperfections, are also mentioned. If you were going to write a book, would you write including the things about it that were negative or not very flattering to you? No, but the Bible is not biased. It includes all the good and the bad. You see, the Bible is not written like any other book. It is a book that was written by God, and it was written in order that we might know how to live our lives. We'll continue this discussion next week. We ask you to tune in again then, and we're thankful for your time. And we hope that you'll tune in again next week as we'll continue to look at and study why the Bible is inspired. Until then, we encourage you to come and be with us on this Lord's Day. We would love to see you, and we would love to have you come and worship God with us. Thank you for listening. We hope you have a very blessed day.